This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I want to put a conversation on the table this morning, but I want to do it in a way that doesn't take away from what we felt and what God started in worship. Is that okay? Because sometimes when we go into certain topics, we have this experience that you know, we have this feeling of God doing something amazing when we worship or whatever, but then when we speak about certain things, then it becomes sensitive to the point that we actually feel that feeling of God ministering unto me doesn't, I don't feel that in this. And I think whenever we speak truth about something specific, we should be very careful to do that, because there's much anointing and much power in seeing how God intended things to work. Are you with me? So we're going to touch on something today, and I want you to be attentive to things that the Holy Spirit revealed. When I was praying about this morning, just saying, Lord, I think I have what's on your heart and what you want to share, I felt the Holy Spirit say, invite them to be attentive to everything that I'm going to raise up in them, because I'm going to set people free. And I'm going to bring truth into areas that maybe was stolen from in the past, maybe that was broken, maybe that was hurt, maybe there's much confusion, much deception. I just sense God wants to come do something specific. So I want you to be attentive, to not become intellectual. Don't switch off your brain. It's important, because I want you to keep breathing. don't miss that. Keep breathing. But don't switch off your heart. Let me rather say that. Keep everything else. Just don't switch your heart off. So what I would like to put on the table this morning is, I want us to gather around the table, us and God and money. So I want us to sit at this table, and I want you to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit's going to bring up, because money, possessions, mine, own, identity, those words kind of ring very close to heart. And the moment one starts to speak into these things, then people are angry, and, you know. And it's interesting, I don't know, I'm going to be deliberate in staying with this, because I felt the Holy Spirit say stay in this, but we're going to speak about the concept of wealth, property, money. I want you to ask yourself a few questions in the introduction of this. I want you to think, should we give God money? Maybe you have a lot of other questions. I'm going to name a few. As I pondered this concept, I was asking myself a few questions. And maybe you also have a few questions that I might not address. So I'm going to say a few. Should we give God money? How much? Do I trust the church? Do I trust the people of this church? Should trusting people make a difference? Should trusting a church make a difference? It's interesting, when you read scripture, there are about 2,000 plus verses speaking about this. And with right. So we are going to go through all 2,000 verses. I'm so thankful you got that. Yeah. That's why you need your lunch boxes. The ones in front actually. I'm so excited to speak about this, because we are intentional in listening what to speak on. And you know what? When God told us speak about this Sunday, to me it meant something with regards to the relationship that we have in this family. If there wasn't a relationship here and God knew this is going to bring division, He wouldn't have told us to speak about this yet. Because we don't do things just for the sake of speaking. We do things because God wants to invest and stir within this family something special. It's interesting how money has this ability to be a threat. A real threat. A real threat to us, real threat to relationships, but also a real threat to our relationship with God. The two things that God said, you love me and you love them as you love yourself, those two things are in direct conflict or in direct potential of being threatened and hurt through money. I want to ask you a question, and remember, listen to what the Holy Spirit are telling you at the same time. Do you think God has a plan for your money? When you receive that SMS or that allowance or that whatever, in whatever shape or form it comes, do you think God has a plan with that? Do you believe God has a plan for that? Like I just said, God speaks about that more than 2,000 times. It's interesting, just for perspective, that's double the number of verses that we can find on faith and prayer combined in Scripture. It's double the amount that we, or verses we find of heaven and hell in Scripture. There's something here. And that's why it's such a sensitive thing. That's why it's a thing that we need to press into. I want to start off by reading Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So you might think this morning, what is this scripture? Because normally when we use this scripture, we use it in specific contexts. But it's interesting when we think about our body and when we think about a living sacrifice, we tend to exclude the things that we gain through this body. Think about that. God is calling us to bring our time. He's calling us to bring our strength. He's calling us to bring our talents. He's calling us to bring our inheritance, everything that we own, everything that we have, and everything that we gain through this body, this vessel that He gave to us. He's calling us to be a living sacrifice. Can you see how, when I understand that whatever comes forth from this body, when this is in submission to Him, when this is a sacrifice to Him, how everything that flows from this is a sacrifice and a submission unto Him. If we do not understand this and we loosen these concepts from each other, we can say, Lord, I bring my body as a living sacrifice when I go to church and I go pray for people. I bring my body as a living sacrifice when I go to intercession. When I prepare for worship, when I prepare for a ministry moment that I'm at or wherever. But the moment we think and understand that this body, this vessel, was meant to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, listen to this, which is your spiritual worship. There's no distinction. It's one and the same thing. We read in this scripture two specific things. Be a living sacrifice. And start to think like God. Allow Him to transform your mind so that you can start thinking like Him. It's interesting, in Scripture we find a statement that we can draw from Matthew 6. The statement is this: your attitude to money reveals your attitude to God Himself. I want to say that again. Your attitude to money reveals your attitude to God Himself. Guys, this is good news. I can see these very concerned faces here. Repentance is a gift. Don't be sad. Matthew 6, verse 24. It's so good how he says no one. No one. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You, now he doesn't say no one, he says you. As we've already established, it's no one. Everyone. Everyone's included. Now he says you. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot from this sacrifice somewhere make a fork in the road where a part of this sacrifice goes this way and a part of this goes somewhere else. It's interesting the words. Look at hate and love. There's a deliberate friendship that's being shaped and formed with one of the two. And you can't do both. It's a complete sacrifice. It's a complete distinction. There's no bridge. There's nothing that can bring these two together. You love one and you hate the other, or you are devoted to one and you despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's interesting. One has to actually say when we read this that it's possible to work the wrong way around. Sometimes we don't acknowledge that. You know, we tend to think in a positive line where we think we love God and we hate money in the sense. Okay. But then when we look at our deeds, we look at our actions, sometimes we find the opposites true. Mammon, like some translation says in this context, means wealth, it means property, it means money, it means power. And the interesting thing about this is that mammon, the term, although it's meant to be tangible material things, it becomes a spirit, it becomes a god that we follow when we love that instead of God. That's why greed is such a powerful thing. Did you ever think why is it so hard to let certain things go? If it was simply material, if it was simply something physical, why would it be so hard? You have many things, but then for certain things, that thing is like, there must be an entity behind it. And if we do not see that entity, we are caught up in a battle that actually turns us on ourselves. If you felt what it's like when you try to fight this thing in your mind, you try to battle out this thing in your flesh that you need to lay down, and then over time finding out there was actually a very real entity behind this that was driving this behavior. And I needed deliverance. I needed to be set free. Some of us are being set free this morning. Because the moment you can identify this, we can invite the Holy Spirit into this space and we can say, Lord, now that I see, thank you for bringing this light, bringing this truth, setting me free. In Scripture, Mammon is mentioned as a rival of God. Why? Not because there's something wrong with a chair or a wallet or a card or shoes or whatever, but because we start serving it. The Scripture says, you cannot serve God and money. We start serving it. We start aligning our thoughts. We start aligning our time. We start aligning our strength. We start aligning our prayer lives. We start aligning everything to money. And the moment we do that, we are actually making that the God, and we are telling God, come help us serve this God. We cannot serve two. We can only serve one. In Matthew 6, verse 31, now we were there now at 6, verse 24, he says, therefore do not be anxious. Therefore do not be anxious. I just sense in my spirit just someone just having a sigh of relief there. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father... Don't skip that. The Gentiles seek after these things. The Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly fathers know that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Derek Prince makes an interesting statement in a place where he speaks specifically on this verse. He says, don't pursue money. Let the way God adds it pursue you. Don't pursue money. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Allow the God who will then add to you to let whatever you need pursue you. For me, there's absolute rest in knowing that when God gives, I do not have to pursue God and at the same time pursue wealth. I do not have to pursue God and at the same time pursue food so I can buy money so I can buy food for my family. God gives when we seek him. Our loving Father in heaven knows what we need, and he adds it when we seek him. Can that be something that we pray? Can that be something that we rest in saying, Lord, I am seeking your kingdom as the Father who loves me, who says that you will add unto me everything that I need. I am now trusting you to let that come. As you want, as you give, when you give, the way you give it, I am trusting you to send it to me. While I walk in obedience, pursuing your kingdom and your righteousness. In Colossians 3 verse 5, we see, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That word covetousness is almost a thing that can be two things at the same time. One is a strong desire for material possessions, especially something that someone else has. So here's a very bad thing that happens with us as humans. We see things that people have and we start to desire. We start to covet. We start to want to have. It's interesting, the way that the Greeks explained it is, listen to this, it says, it implies a self-idolizing, grasping spirit far worse than another Greek term translated, the love of money. There's a desperation that comes with this word covetousness. And the interesting thing about this verse, it's mentioned in the line of other things that we have no problem in identifying. If we would say sexual immorality, how healthy is that for a church community? How healthy is that for a spirit-filled believer? There's no doubt. We'd all say, no way. It doesn't fit. It can't be here. There's no place for that. If we say impurity, if we say an evil desire, but then when we come to covetousness, we have the shades of desire and greed with regards to earthly and material possessions and things that we want to gather for ourselves. And it's okay. It's not okay. It's idolatry. And that scripture in Matthew now that we just saw actually explains that well. In 1 Timothy 6 verse 6 to 10, we read, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, listen to this, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Have you considered that some of the things that you are going through in life might stem from a root for material possession? It doesn't say here that a love of money is the root of stealing things. It says it's the root of all kinds of evils. The previous verse says, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. To the point where we have wandered away from the faith and pierced ourselves with many pangs. Verse 11. Listen to this. But as for you. As for you, man of God, flee these things. Flee it. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Look at the contrast. Pursue this. In Mark 12, verse 41, and I'm ending with this for now. We see, interesting, a widow's offering. Listen to this. Jesus, he sat down opposite the treasury and he watched the people putting money into the offering box. Now think about this. For us, the tithing boxes and the offering boxes are hidden somewhere. It's in SnapScan or wherever. Because we don't want to see, you know, we always had this joke as children. We also had these pastors and people making jokes. You know, when you throw money into the offering boxes, you mustn't hear it fall. Have you ever heard that? So what they meant was it mustn't be a coin. I hear some of these people speaking about money. They say, and they are quite stern about it. They say, a coin is something you give to a god that's watching your car. Now I'm like, guys, okay, wait, what are you talking about? So we make a big thing, you know, of, do people, you know, we fold the money small in our hand, you know, and then when the thing comes by, then you, and even, huh? It's a spiritual discipline, but it's something that's, it's not like someone has your salary statement, you know, like, I can see what you're throwing in, I measured over the last month, I can see, you know, with the color of paper you're throwing in there. If you can hold your hand like this, the pile is not big enough, you know. It's interesting, Jesus sat and he watched the people putting money into the offering box. Why would he do that? Many rich people put in large sums. So you would know that because of the way that they do that, right? Yeah. Yeah, they'd hear a drop. One by one. Listen to this. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. So I was searching this morning a penny, because I was caught on this word, and it seems like in biblical times it was 15 to 17 cents, a penny. So she took two copper coins, which make a penny, which is 15 to 17 cents. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to him, truly I say, so now it's not only Jesus watching this lady, you know, doing the... Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributed to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything that she had to live on. Now that reaches something. It's interesting. We notice two things here. The one is that Jesus looked at everyone, looked at what everyone gave, and he estimated the value. Do you know that God knows what you give? Do you know that God sees your heart when you walk to the gate with that person asking for bread or for whatever, and you have 3 loaves of bread in the house, but you give them the, well, in our house, what is a corsi? Crust. So in our house, we fight for the crust. So I can't say, so you give them the crust. But I know in some houses, some people would give them the crust because some people don't use that. God sees that. It's interesting how God says, they gave from abundance, but he says she gave from poverty, from everything that she had. The second thing that we notice Jesus saying here is that he does not measure necessarily what we give, but he measures what we keep. Why? Because that shows your heart. Because we can give from abundance, but the moment it starts touching us, there's something in that heart that reveals, who am I serving? And I had this week, someone asking me for shoes. I'm waiting for him to come again. I gave him the wrong shoes. I gave him from abundance. What's it about? Some people, and are we not going into that this morning? Some people give 10%, some people give 20%, some people give 50%. Some people are so convicted by this and feel led by the Spirit in such a way that they give everything except for what they need. Something happens in your heart the moment you feel God is speaking to me on what should I do with the things that He gave me, and how do I make sure that my life testifies of the God that I'm serving. How do I do that?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.